Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What do you think of that picture I just texted you? Give that thumbs up or thumbs down?
Smart hair.
Yeah.
Smart hair.
I just texted you a picture. I bet Grunhardt would like to get his hands on this. A young Gary Lezak.
I'll text it to
with
him.
Hair to his shoulders.
Looks like Shaggy and Scooby.
No, that's a Lassie dog.
Well, yeah, but Shaggy and Lassie.
There you go.
He looks like Shaggy.
Tim Grunhardt joins us. Hello, Tim. You ever have hair down to your shoulders?
No, but I saw that picture, and I had to look twice.
Right.
Yeah, that was very interesting. But more importantly than even that, when is the hat ceremony for Phil St. John?
Well,
I'm looking forward to the commitment between Wichita State, UMKC, and I don't know if he's going to put any other hats out there. But
Creighton, maybe?
Creighton recruited him hard. We're going to put a Creighton hat out there.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go through the motions. I mean, you know, who knows?
We have the Wichita State hat. We have the UMKC hat. A lot of positives of both schools. Wichita State, a great school. A lot of fun basketball and baseball program down there with some sports. And UMKC close to home. And, of course, an up-and-coming basketball program. And then, of course, Creighton. Heck, they're always right there as far as sports, and they're all great academic schools. So the hats are out there. When is the ceremony? I've been dying for the live presser.
Also, if he goes to Creighton, I will have to live in a one-room apartment moving forward. But I will say that we're going to set something. Actually, he's going to – I talked to him about this. Jake, you didn't know this. I was going to tell you, since Granny's bringing it up. Phil is going to call in on his way to school next Friday on his birthday. And let us know.
He's going to make the announcement on his birthday.
Yeah.
Wow.
On it's going to be like LeBron. And man. I told
it's
him
a big 1-8 too, right?
Yeah, 18.
He's going to go buy a pack of smokes and
well.
But my question is
decide.
Is he going to say I am going to bring my services too?
Right.
Take my talents.
Either that or we're going to do something where I stand on one side of the room and Bluma stands on the other and he runs into someone's arms. That could be fun for everybody.
He's going to say I'm taking my talents to Kellogg Boulevard.
Timmy, I don't know how you've done this over and over again with kids going to college, man. This is the last few months, my emotions have been all over the place. I cry every night by myself in an empty room, so it's been unbelievable. But, hey.
Not easy.
No, it's not. We just talked to the new Kansas AD, Travis Goff, and I dropped your name. I hope that's all right, because I told him about the comment you made that you said that Kansas needs to find their Pat Fitzgerald, because I thought that meant something considering he's coming from Northwestern. And he loved, he said that's, you know, a lot of schools need to find their Pat Fitzgerald, which is true. And he knows all, because he worked closely. He was the administrator for the football program. So he knows all about how Pat Fitzgerald built that program. And so, and of course, now your son, one of your sons plays for KU. So I'm curious what you thought of the hire and the first week and what you've heard from Travis Goff.
Well, I like what I've heard. And obviously, being a KU guy and a Kansas kid, I think that's great. But even more important than that, it's funny you brought up Pat, because I texted Pat right after and I sent him kind of the article about him accepting the job. And I said, hey, what do you think? He says, exceptional, exceptional guy. We are sad to lose him. So Pat really likes him, and they've worked very, very hard together. As you said, he was kind of the liaison to the football program at Northwestern, and they raised a ton of money. I don't know if anybody that's out there listening has had the opportunity to or has taken a look at the facility that Northwestern has put together over the last 10 years. It is just unbelievable how beautiful some of the facilities they put up, and Travis was part of raising money for that, and so he has that experience, and now he's got a big decision to make whether he sticks with EJ as a interim coach and gives him a year to see how he can, you know, prepare a team for a season, or he goes out and he finds a head coach, which is great too. And, you know, keep a guy like EJ and keep Urkel and keep Grimm and some of the other guys that they have there. So it's going to be interesting to see. But whatever it is, I think they got to do it pretty quick here, because I think it's for not only for the players, but for just everybody around the Kansas football organization and or world, you know, we're just kind of left here in limbo waiting to see what happens. So now that they have their AD, it's going to be interesting to see how fast they make a decision on this head coach.
So the whole concept of, you know, KU needs to find their Pat Fitzgerald, as you know, I love that too. There's some similarities, right, between what you trying to win in football at Northwestern and trying to win in football at Kansas?
Yeah, there is some similarities. You know, listen, it's a big, strong, top-heavy conference, both conferences. And, you know, if you can work your way to be competitive in the middle of the pack and then, you know, every once in a while squeeze out a victory against the big boys, then you're doing yeoman's work. And I think that's where KU would love to be, is, you know, just, you know, kind of get to mid-pack and then all of a sudden every once in a while knock off an Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or knock off a Texas in a season. And, you know, I think that's how you build a program. And that's what Northwestern did. You know, remember, when I was living in Chicago, Dennis Green was the coach at Northwestern, and they didn't win any games. They were, I think my brother was a sophomore or a junior, and they didn't win any games for the first 2 years he was there, and then they won a game, and I'll never forget because he was home. And he said, man, I got to get back to campus. This is going to be a party at Northwestern after they won their first game. And, you know, I think it was 30 or 40 games. So they've gone through their trials and tribulations over there, too. So, yeah, I think it just takes one good, you know, coach to jump in there and have the guys believe and get the fan base behind him and have an AD, I think, that has an opportunity to kind of put his stamp on the program. And guys, we've said this many, many times. Listen, I've been there. I was there with the new staff. I was there with the new AD. So I know people are saying, well, here we go again. But one of these times it's got to work. I mean, the odds are that it's going to work. So let's hope it's this time.
We have Tim Grunhard on the line. All right, Tim, we got in an interesting discussion earlier because, and look, it's water under the bridge now. Juju Smith-Schuster turned down more money from the Chiefs to go back to the Steelers. But he was on Michael Irvin's podcast yesterday, and I thought he made some really interesting comments about how he said, because it was supposedly the Ravens and the Chiefs offered him more money, but then he went back to the Steelers, and he said he wasn't really even considering the Ravens because of their offense and because they're a bitter division rival. But he said if it wasn't the Steelers, it was going to be the Chiefs. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said because Andy Reid kept texting him pictures of the Lombardi Trophy and calling him and was, you know, aggressively recruiting him. And I like hearing things like that. I like hearing the behind-the-scenes stuff that, you know, because I don't think any of us thought of Andy Reid sitting there, you know, just texting pictures of the Lombardi Trophy to potential free agents, but I love it. And so I'm just curious what your reaction to that was, and do you think Andy, I mean, does that show how much he wanted Juju Smith-Schuster, or does he do that with a lot of free agents? He knew, you know, the behind the scenes of it. I just thought that was really interesting to hear that about Andy Reid and how hard he was going after Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the way it's going right now with free agency. It's getting a lot like college recruiting where you want to, you know, I remember going and sitting with Justin McKay when I was taking him down to Oklahoma, and gosh, I'm drawing a blank on the coach, but Stoops was down there, and he had a box full of bowl rings and national championship rings, and it was right on the table that we were, you know, sitting around discussing, you know, the future for the player, and then he said, "Do you want to have these?" And he opened the box up, and he showed us all the national championship rings and the bowl rings.
That's
and
pretty
all
good.
The bling that they've won over the years. Yeah, and you know, the kids' eyes pop open. And I don't care if you're an 18-year-old kid or a 28-year-old kid, you want that bling. You want to have the opportunity to be the best. So I think Andy Reid in that aspect is doing what he needs to do to get great players to come to Kansas City. But I just don't think that Smith-Schuster is very bright if he makes a comment like saying, "Well, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to go back to play with Big Ben." If you want to go play with Ben Roethlisberger and not Patrick Mahomes, then maybe you're just not smart enough to be a Kansas City Chief.
Look, I love that because I said this earlier. I understand I'm not smarter than Andy Reid. He knows more about wide receivers than I do, and if he wants him, that there's for a reason. But to me, he tells us something about himself. If he really turned down more money to play for the Chiefs so that he could stay in Pittsburgh. And I don't know what that is, Grunty. I don't know if that's hey, look, some people, change is uncomfortable for him. I saw one quote that he had that he likes the fact that they know him in Pittsburgh, that he knows the quarterback. He doesn't have to learn a new system. They don't have to learn his tendencies, all of that. But I feel like sometimes change is what pushes you out of your comfort zone and drives you to be a better version of yourself. And to me, whatever the reason was, like, it kind of makes me glad that he's not here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes any sense, but like if he didn't choose to come to Kansas City, then maybe he did the Chiefs a favor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who am I to give him crap? Really, I thought it was funny that he said, you know, I'm going to take my chances with Ben and not Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't get that at all. I don't get it. I just don't get that. But, you know, he's saying the right things. But who am I? I mean, I turned down money to leave and at the end of my career and go play somewhere else for a couple of years and decided, no, you know what, I'm just going to stay here in Kansas City. I love it in Kansas City. My family's comfortable here in Kansas City. I don't want to change. Now, listen, that's late in my career.
Yeah.
So, you know, but for me, you know, I didn't want to change. Like Lou Holtz used to always say, he would say, is your wife happy? Yes, coach. Are your kids happy? Yes, coach. Don't mess with happy. So sometimes you just don't want to mess with happy. Stay where you're at. If you're happy somewhere, stay there. Don't mess with happy. And I think we can learn lessons in our lives that the grass isn't always greener. But when it comes to an opportunity to win Super Bowls, because Kansas City Chiefs is going to win Super Bowls now. Here in the next 10 years with Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be in quite a few more, and they're going to win a couple of those. So to have a chance to win Super Bowls and to have that Lombardi Trophy over your head and to be a legendary football player with Super Bowl rings on your resume, I just don't get it. I mean, if you have an opportunity to play with the Kansas City Chiefs right now, you take it. That'd be like having the opportunity to play with the Edmonton Oilers back in the day with Gretzky. It'd be like having the opportunity to play with Joe Montana back with the 49ers in the 80s. You just don't turn those situations, and you don't turn those things down. If you do, then maybe we don't want you. You're exactly right. Maybe it's just not for him. So good for him that he said no, but I just don't see how you do that.
Tim Grunhardt is our guest. Tim, we've talked about this a few times with you, but still nothing has happened. And I think probably people like me are thinking about it too much and just need to let things happen. But are you getting a feel for what the Chiefs' plan is at left tackle? Do you still think they're going to sign someone like Villanueva or Okung and then draft somebody? You think they're just going to go with what they have and then add someone in the first or second round? Like, what do you think the plan is right now?
Well, I don't think they have the answer yet. Okay, so if you look at the roster right now, they don't have that answer. Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Andy Hack, if you had to sit them down at the table and said, okay, who's your left tackle? They would say incomplete. We don't know. I really and truly believe that. They know who their left guard is. They know who their center is. I think they know who their right guard is, and I think it'll be LTD. I think it's going to be a nice little competition at right tackle between Long and Remmers, but they don't know who their left tackle is. So either they're going to address it through the names that you just brought up, or they're going to address it and bring a young kid in a first-round draft choice in the draft this year and put him at left tackle and let him learn at left tackle with an all-pro guy next to him at the left guard position. I mean, how would you like to have an opportunity to play next to Will Shields if you're a young guy? Or, you know, Joe Tunney, both are very, very talented all-pro offensive linemen. So it's nice to have guys like that next to you. So if you're ever going to break in a young guy, if you're ever going to bring in a draft pick at the left tackle position, this is the time to do it because you have some really, really talented and really, really smart, experienced guys right now next to him that can help him out.
Okay, so Tooney at guard, Blythe at center, LDT at guard, and Long has played guard and right tackle. So you think the battle at right tackle is between Remmers and Long? Because, I mean, so then where do you think Lucas Niang fits in?
Well, I think Lucas Niang, that's a good question. I, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are excited about Lucas Niang. And, you know, it's good for them. I'm happy for the kid that you know, he's going to have an opportunity to play in the NFL. And I'm happy for the kid who's going to have an opportunity to go and compete. You know, but he missed a whole year with opt-out, which, okay, that's your decision. You live with the decision. Would I have made that decision? I don't know. Probably not, but I don't know, okay? And then he, you know, was basically hurt his senior year in college and had an unbelievable junior year. He played very, very well, obviously good enough to be drafted because he didn't play much his senior year. So I don't know. I think it's too easy now to say, well, why aren't you starting this guy? Well, why are you? Give me an example. Why? All right? I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? Obviously, they haven't seen it.
Well, I haven't seen anything from him. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him anywhere.
Absolutely. So that's my point is, you know, and I've taken some criticisms from people, you know, in social media about, like, I can't answer that question. Can you? Give me an example of why you think that this kid, because he played really good his junior year in college, that was 3 years ago. All right, so you know that's why I'm not putting him in now. He may go out to training camp and be a world beater and just be smashing people and just locking people up. And I hope he is. And if he is, then you know then maybe you got a great opportunity to put Long at right guard, have him compete with LDT because Long's going to play on the right side now. He's used to having his right hand in the dirt. He's not really comfortable putting his left hand in the dirt. If that makes any sense. He likes being on the right side, so that's probably where they're going to put him. So therein lies my competition factor. I think if Niang, if he can come out there and be the world beater that everybody thinks he's going to be, then he'll play that right tackle position, and Remmers will back him up. But until I see something from him, I don't know. So you got Rankin's a guy that people are talking about at left tackle. He's played some left tackle in his career. But I don't think that they have the answer right now at the left tackle position. I think you're going to see in the draft, whether it's Liam Eichenberg, whether it's Alex Leatherwood or Tevin Jenkins, one of those guys may come in, and they're big, physical, athletic guys that could play that left tackle position. Will they struggle a little bit? Yeah, they'll struggle a little bit, but they're gonna get better. You know, Dave Zott and I were thrown into the fire as rookies, and we made it through, and we had a nice career, and we you know, you just got to do it. You know, the only way to learn on the offensive line is by getting thrown in there and learning by fire. And I think that's what they're going to do at the left tackle position this year.
Tim Grunhart, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. I'll be in next week, so you guys will see my bright smile.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I'm looking forward to next week all of a sudden. Thank you, Timmy.
All right.
That's Tim Grunhart back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.